Hello, welcome to Strange Love of Movies. My name is Olivia Martinez, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Oscar and Emily Martinez. And today we are on episode 13 of our Coen Brothers series with Burn After Reading. This film is fairly recent. It came right after the Best Picture winning Coen Brothers film, No Country for Old Men. And there are no similarities there. I was going to say, there are some similarities. No.
No, this was obviously a, what do you call it, a palate cleanser or
very
whatever.
Much so.
I mean, they definitely, I think the Coen brothers just wanted to do something light and funny and kind of remind audiences that you could laugh with their movies too.
Yes, and this is one of those examples that I've mentioned previously. I think it was Intolerable Cruelty, the one with George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones. And mm-hmm. If you haven't heard it yet, it's on our website, strangeloveofmovies.com, as are the rest of the Coen Brothers
films. Yeah, episode 10.
Yeah, we've looked at. But I did not like that one at all at the movies. And I hated this one. I couldn't stand it.
Well, when we saw it, I didn't hate it, but I was definitely disappointed. It was one of those that we saw. I don't remember laughing that much, and I don't remember ever mentioning it or thinking about it again afterward.
Papa would always mention it because it gave me the fear, I swear.
Yeah.
Every time I saw the title, I was like, oh no, Dad's going to be like, I hated that movie.
Well, there was just like the
you
old days,
it.
Many, many years ago, that movie Forrest Gump, universally loved, except for the people who universally hated it. And this film was similar because a lot of people said they should have called it Burn Before Viewing because it was so... It wasn't funny. And now
it is funny.
Okay, I take it back. All of that was a lead up to I have changed my mind. And that's the thing about their movies. I can't think of another other filmmakers who you have such strong feelings about it. Give it another chance. And you might be surprised because I liked it a lot more. I thought it was a lot funnier. And I think it's partly because not that they're predicting the future. That was 2008. It's set in Washington, D.C. It's like their spy movie, quote unquote spy movie. But they're all a bunch of idiots. They're all incompetent. They're all, you know, looking after themselves. And that's kind of what it is now in real life. You know, in other words, that was already happening. It reminded me a lot of Veep, the show with
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes, on HBO.
Yes, everybody in here was just kind of flaky or goofy or just downright dumb.
Or going through like a midlife crisis.
Right. Except one was not goofy. He was very smart and very serious, the John Malkovich character.
No, but he was going through the midlife crisis.
But he was going through a midlife crisis. So it's sort of like, but I think that's why it was pretty funny because here it was like this one guy, this CIA operative or whatever, CIA analyst, who was like the most unlikable, just an awful individual, awful person, but obviously very intelligent, very smart, he knew how the world worked. And he was up against this whole group of people who were not nearly as bad as he was in some sense, but they just were just such nincompoops. And he got so frustrated by what he had to deal with. And yet you were kind of rooting for them because he was so bad.
Yeah, and it's really the same reason why I think Veep is so funny is why I thought this was so funny. Because when in the grand scheme of things, like what they're doing is literally so meaningless. Like it's good. Let's talk about the cast before I talk about the plot. Because the reason it's so funny is, you guessed it, the plot, obviously. But just the reason why these nincompoops, they think they have something, and they don't. And it's just so much work for no reason.
And they're desperate to sell it because they need money.
Yes.
And they need money for, again, just kind of ridiculous reasons.
Superficial reasons, to say the least. But the cast, is this their most...
I think so.
...star-studded film? I actually may be, because it stars George Clooney, Brad Pitt. I think this was their first film since the Oceans series. And then we got Frances McDormand, who's a regular. John Malkovich, who, had he ever been in a Coen Brothers
before? I don't think so, no.
Okay, then we got Tilda Swinton. She plays John Malkovich's wife and George Clooney's mistress. Richard Jenkins is in this. He just is so good. He plays such a heartbreaking sad sack. He's just the best. He was also in Intolerable Cruelty as the lawyer, but he did a lot more in this film. J.K. Simmons is in this. And, I mean, the list goes on with character actors, but... just a great cast, a lot of fun, and all of this was for nothing, basically.
Yes, it kind of, I mean, I think it is a satire on the idea that people who take themselves so seriously in Washington are they may be handling these really important jobs and really and overseeing these state secrets, but they're as messed up as anybody else out there, and sometimes even more so.
Well, yeah, and ostensibly, you know, it starts off with they're in Langley, and so many movies have started that way with the typewritten words on the, you know, Langley, Virginia. That's where the CIA headquarters is. As if you recall, CIA, the C and the I stand for Central Intelligence. This was chaotic stupidity is what it was. It was the opposite, you know, because they were each had their own, lived in their own little worlds and had no loyalty to each other, to couples, to, you know, there's a whole early days of dating apps and whatever, and a lot of married men on those apps or what. I mean, it was just really bizarre time.
Definitely. And one of the characters who's, I mean, the worst husband, the worst boyfriend, the worst relationship partner of all time is kind of the best character just because he seems like the nicest, George Clooney's character.
I know, in his own way, at least he was seemed like a genuinely nice guy.
And something you picked up on that was pretty funny about George Clooney's character was...
Oh, yes. He was having an affair with the CIA agent, the CIA analyst's wife.
Tilda, yeah.
Tilda.
Who was a doctor.
And he wanted...
So she's not an idiot either.
No, she's really intelligent too, but she's all business. I mean, she is like the most serious person.
But you could tell because he kept asking his wife that... if he thought she liked her, and then he'd ask his mistress if she liked his wife, and they said exactly the same thing about each other. He wanted them to like each other, even though it's so dumb. You can't, that's how
and
it works.
He somehow gets involved with Frances McDormand's character, too, and it's just so messy. But Frances McDormand and Brad Pitt and Richard Jenkins, they all work at a gym. And at
hard bodies.
Hard bodies, yes. And they are the worst at their jobs because they're never actually doing anything for this gym. But Brad Pitt and Frances McDormand, they're like good friends and they bounce off of each other really well. They have great chemistry. I mean, not romantically or anything, but they just seem like real life friends. They have nothing in common, but they're great together.
They are. And this is, again, Frances McDormand, it seems like the last few roles she's played, she's really pretty serious. But this one, she reminds you of how funny she can be. I mean, she really can make fun of herself, and But I have to say, I think that Brad Pitt and George Clooney, they really kind of stole the show. I think both of them were so funny. Brad Pitt is so good at playing the dumb guy, and George Clooney also, he kind of played a dopey guy who, again, was like a womanizer and all this, and yet there's just something so likable about him.
Well, they call it the idiot trilogy because he was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Intolerable Cruelty, and then this was the third one, Burn After Reading. And then after this, he made Hail Caesar, and he was an idiot in that one, too.
Oh, that's right.
You know, and
he's
tired of playing the idiot, but he does it pretty well. He must like that after playing the serious guy and the romantic lead and all that.
So. And, I mean, he played an idiot, but, like, Brad Pitt was another level of idiot. And, I mean, his name is literally Chad. No offense to any of the Chads out there, but, like, that name itself is just thought of. I mean, people literally say, like, oh, he's just a Chad. I mean, yes. I don't think they're referring to Burn After Reading, but, you know, it's just the idea of this, like...
just the kind of guy you'd imagine working at a gym.
The spiked up hair.
And not that, I mean, a lot of people work at gyms who aren't like this, but, you know, just kind of the stereotype of it.
Exactly. And it's not like the Coen brothers have ever stepped foot in a gym in their lives.
Yes.
So they're just thinking of the stereotypical gym dude.
Well, right. There's a funny story about that, because they said they wrote it for him, for Brad
really?
Pitt. And after he read the script, he clearly realized the guy was an idiot, so he didn't know whether to be flattered or insulted. He goes to them and says, well, I'm not so sure I can play this because this guy's an idiot. And he said there was a long pause, and then Joel Coen said, you'll be fine.
I'm so offended. But yeah, this was Brad's first and only Coen brother film, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. That's surprising because they use so many of the same actors in multiple films.
Yeah, he's just a busy dude. I mean, he works with so many great filmmakers, but he doesn't really have any of those relationships with filmmakers. Like, I mean, George Clooney does with the Coen brothers and, you know, some of these actors with directors.
Well,
okay.
I think one of the criticisms, and I still have this, and we haven't talked about this in a long time, like, we are a family-friendly podcast. Mm-hmm. This is not a family-friendly movie. It's rated R. Mostly for language and a lot of adult situations involving sex, right? But the F-bombs that they throw out, they're like, oh, come on. This is what you see a lot now. And when people run out of words, they use profanity, and that's they're so above that. And, and maybe the John Malkovich character, that's the only one that made sense of it. Yeah, but everybody was throwing them around.
Yeah, it's a little overdone.
They're all so angry and what have you. But the funniest part for me was when he's like, Osborne Cox. Is this Osborne? He's calling him. He's calling. It's like calling the real James Bond and saying, "Hey, we found a thumb drive with your name on it." Or it's the equivalent of that. And it's like he's
trying to be so sneaky.
Who the F is this? And you don't know what the F you're doing.
Because literally, Brad and Francis, they think that they've come on. They think that they found like gold or something. And spoiler, okay, don't listen to this if you haven't seen Burn After Reading yet. Stop here. But spoiler alert, it's nothing. It's just John Malkovich who's going through that midlife crisis. It's his badly written memoir. That's about it.
They think it's these important CIA secrets.
Yeah, so then Francis and Brad go to the Russian embassy, which is treason, but they go there to try to get money because Francis wants to get cosmetic surgery. That's her big thing. That's her life goal, to get the money for cosmetic surgery. And it's just, it's ridiculous and it's hilarious. And that is a good scene. And yeah, the way Malkovich throws the F-bomb around is pretty funny. I don't know how he does it. He's just so angry. And speaking of angry, you know who's really good in this? J.K. Simmons.
Oh, yes.
Who is, he also can play an angry man really well. And in this, he's not over the top angry, but he still is fairly angry. And he's pretty competent, right?
He is. Yeah, he definitely seems like the kind of competent CIA guy who through the years has had to deal with so much just kind of silliness and so many idiots and has just become so cynical that the decisions he makes are just done out of just trying to survive in this nutty world.
Exactly. And J.K. Simmons's character, I mean, he's not in the film that much, but the film ends with a conversation between him and David Rashi, who is a great character actor. He's in Veep, actually.
And he does a great job,
too. Yeah,
he's
so good, too. But yeah, the movie ends with these two people that we don't know that much about and we didn't follow, and they're just in a random room, which, Dad, like you say, the desk.
Yes, the desk. That plays a big role in just about every Coen Brothers film. There's somebody behind the desk, somebody, ostensibly someone in power. And there's always some transaction being done that affects the plot, that moves the plot forward, if you think about it. For everything from Blood Simple to Big Lebowski, right? Where the sheriff throws that cup at his face. You know?
It's true, yeah. But yeah, it's a crazy way to end the movie. It ends really, it's kind of heartbreaking, actually, how the film ends. But it ends on a funny note in a way, which is so sad to say.
Yeah, there's tragedy involved in here. But so because it's more or less a cartoon, right, I guess. Yeah. They're playing cartoon characters. You got to give the actors credit because they're also so serious and so good at what they do. The fact that they did this, kudos to them, you know.
Yes. I know. I actually really enjoyed it this last time we saw it.
Yeah, I was surprised and I was really nervous. I was looking at Dad with my teeth chattering, worried he would throw something at the screen because he hated it. But he was laughing too, so.
Osborne Cox.
Osborne Cox. That's such a good performance.
That was his best line. And that was the first scene they filmed. That's a whole other thing. How did they decide how they're going to film these scenes?
I know, get all those actors,
yeah, and,
I bet it was
Malkovich
hard.
Malkovich was literally phoning it in. He was on the phone because he was doing something in Paris, like a play or something. Isn't that funny?
Oh,
that
so
funny?
He was actually on the other side.
He was
side.
Yelling, and he was like, he wondered what the people next door were thinking. He was really yelling in the middle of the night in Paris.
That's awesome.
How about we get two ratings so we don't drag this on for too long? How many, what would we, CDs?
How many security clearances?
Mm.
What level security clearance would you give this?
I don't think that's bad.
Okay, let's go with security.
What level of security clearance would you give Burn After Reading? I'll start.
Okay.
Were you going to say out of five?
Out of five.
Yes, out of five.
Well, people may not know. Our fan in Germany may have forgotten.
And you know, the thing is, that brings up an important point. I think we should stick with five, but sometimes that does make it hard to rate, especially when it comes to comedies like this, because like I'm just spoiler alert, I'm going to give this a good rating, but like the rating I give this, when you compare it to
The Godfather,
The Godfather, something is going to be ridiculous, but you just have to take, the way I look at movies is I try to try to rate them according to what they're supposed to be. Supposed to be an entertaining comedy, or are they supposed to really make a difference in the world?
I know. I really try to do it based on how much I'm entertained by it and how much I respect it. Because, I mean, I respect Zoolander and movies like that just as much as I respect Apocalypse Now. Very, very different films, but both are 5 out of 5
slightly in my different.
Opinion. Yeah, and you're right. Slightly different. But that is a good... And how I think of it too, though, sometimes when I can't figure out the rating exactly, is I just multiply by 2 and think of it out of 10. Because it sounds mean to say, you know, 3 out of 5, but really that's a 6. Like, that's above average, you know?
I don't understand that at all.
Should we increase the ratings to 11? Like a Spinal Tap?
No! Whatever. How many security clearances are we going to give this Burn After reading? I'm going to start. I would give it 3.5. I liked it. Didn't love it, but I did love a few scenes and a few characters a lot. I'm sure I'll come back to it at some point. Good movie.
As always, I'm going to copy you. I always either copy you or whoever I'm following. But I think I'd say 3.5, too. I thought it was really quite funny. And I wouldn't even mind seeing it again in the not distant future. I think it was funny. Especially had a few scenes that were really pretty memorable. But it had a lot of silliness too, and certainly wasn't very original in a lot of ways, and the characters were just kind of caricatures.
But I mean, I think that was the point.
Yes, it was. And so I enjoyed it.
I give it a 3 out of 5 security clearances. And considering I would have given it a 1 if I hadn't seen it again, that's quite the recommendation. But again, the language, I don't know. I'm not a prude necessarily, but it just becomes an assault after a while. And look at anything on Netflix. But again, yeah, I thought some of the scenes, like Em said and Liv said, were as funny as anything you've ever seen any of these actors do, and any of this director, the Coen brothers, do as well.
And this is a rare film that for some reason I've seen on every streaming service at different times. I mean, it'll be there and then it won't. A lot of the Coen brother films are just nowhere to be seen. That's why we had to rent a lot of them on DVD from my college's library. But this one, I remember it was on Netflix a few years back. It was on Hulu at one point. We watched it on HBO Max. So it is places. So you will be able to find Burn After Reading at some point. Follow us on Instagram at Strange Love of Media. Visit our website, strangeloveofmovies.com, to follow our Coen Brothers series. Make sure to be watching movies along with us. This was episode 13 of our Coen Brothers series, and the next movie we'll be talking about, it will be episode 14, obviously, and it'll be a little less lighthearted because it'll be A Serious Man. We'll see y'all later, and try not to blackmail any central intelligence agencies. And don't go to the Russian embassy, please.
Yeah, just stay away from the Russian embassy.
Stay away. Bye, guys.